The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news.
O come, let us worship.
God the Father, creator of heaven and earth,
have mercy on us.
God the Son, redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God the Holy Spirit, sanctifier of the faithful,
have mercy on us.
Holy, blessed, and glorious Trinity, three persons and one God,
have mercy on us.
Lord, remember not our offenses, nor the offenses of our forebears. Spare us, good Lord. Spare your people whom you have redeemed with your precious blood.
Spare us, good Lord.
From all evil and mischief, from sin, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from your wrath and from everlasting condemnation,
good Lord, deliver us.
From all spiritual blindness, from pride, vainglory, and hypocrisy, from envy, hatred, and malice, and from all want of charity,
good Lord, deliver us.
From all deadly sin, and from the deceits of the world, the flesh, and the devil,
good Lord, deliver us.
From all false doctrine, heresy and schism, from hardness of heart and contempt of your word and commandment,
good Lord, deliver us.
From earthquake and tempest, from drought, fire, and flood, from civil strife and violence, from war and murder, and from dying suddenly and unprepared,
good Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, and by your proclamation of the kingdom,
good Lord, deliver us.
By your agony and bitter grief, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit,
good Lord, deliver us.
In our times of trouble, in our times of prosperity, in the hour of death, and on the day of judgment,
good Lord, deliver us.
Receive now our prayers, Lord God. May it please you to rule and govern your holy church universal and lead it in your way.
Hear us, good Lord.
Strengthen your servant Charles, our king, in true worship and holiness of life. Be his defender and keeper, that he may always seek your honor and glory, and endue the leaders of this nation with wisdom and understanding.
Hear us, good Lord.
Bless and defend all who strive for our safety and protection, and shield them in all dangers and adversities.
Hear us, good Lord.
Grant wisdom and insight to those who govern us, and to judges and magistrates the grace to execute justice with mercy.
Hear us, good Lord.
Enlighten all bishops, priests, and deacons with true knowledge and understanding of your word, that in their preaching and living they may declare it clearly and show its truth.
Hear us, good Lord.
Bless all your servants preparing for ministry in your church. Pour your grace upon them, that they may serve others as Christ himself has served us, for the building up of his body in love.
Hear us, good Lord.
Encourage and prosper your servants, who spread the gospel in all the world, and send out laborers into the harvest.
Hear us, good Lord.
Bless and keep your people, that all may find and follow their true vocation and ministry.
Hear us, good Lord.
Give us a heart to love and reverence you, that we may diligently live according to your commandments.
Hear us, good Lord.
To all your people, give growth in grace to listen to your word, to receive it gladly, and to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit.
Hear us, good Lord.
Strengthen those who stand firm in the faith. Encourage the faint-hearted. Raise up those who fall. And finally beat down Satan under our feet.
Hear us, good Lord.
To all nations, grant unity, peace, and concord, and to all people, give dignity, food, and shelter.
Hear us, good Lord.
Grant us abundant harvests, strength, and skill to conserve the resources of the earth, and wisdom to use them well.
Hear us, good Lord.
Enlighten with your Spirit all who teach and all who learn.
Hear us, good Lord.
Come to the help of all who are in danger, necessity, and trouble. Protect all who travel by land, air, or water, and show your pity on all prisoners and captives.
Hear us, good Lord.
Strengthen and preserve all women who are in childbirth, and all young children, and comfort the aged and lonely.
Hear us.
Defend and provide for the widowed and the orphaned, the refugees and the homeless, the unemployed and all who are desolate and oppressed.
Hear us, good Lord.
Heal those who are sick in body or mind, and give skill and compassion to all who care for them.
Hear us, good Lord.
Grant us true repentance. Forgive our sins and strengthen us by your Holy Spirit to amend our lives according to your holy word.
Hear us, good Lord.
Son of God, we ask you to hear us.
Son of God, we ask you to hear us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
Have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, fasted 40 days in the wilderness. Give us grace to direct our lives in obedience to your Spirit. And as you know our weakness, so may we know your power to save. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated for readings from God's holy word.
A reading from the book of Genesis. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the season of Lent, we pray together our psalms according to the emergent psalter. Please listen to the music team sing the antiphon once and then join through the second time, and then read the verses that are printed on the screen in bold. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be humiliated, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Let none who look to you be put to shame. Let the treacherous be disappointed in their schemes. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your love, and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Gracious and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in his way. He guides the humble in doing right, and teaches his way to the lowly. All the paths of the Lord are love and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies.
Second reading, a reading from the first letter of Peter. Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring to you God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirit in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, 8 persons, were saved through waters, and baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
I invite you now to rise in body or spirit and join in singing in heart or in voice the hymn that announces the gospel, Come Down, O Love Divine. The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to you.
Right. Can you hear me well? Is the, or should I move to the other one? I think it's pretty good. Okay. Lord God, please bless this message and those who hear it so we can better understand your word and will. Amen. All right. So I'm preaching on our passage from 1 Peter today. And it's a pretty challenging one. So before I jump into it, I'm going to reread a portion of it again with a little bit of the context from before and after. Some of it will be a repeat, but that's okay. It'll help us remember better. All right. Do not repay evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It is for this that you were called. Now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Therefore, always be ready to make a defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he also went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former days did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah. Baptism now saves you through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels and authorities and powers made subject to him. Since, therefore, Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same intention, so as to live no longer by human desires, but by the will of God. For you have already spent enough time doing what the Gentiles like to do, and they will have to give an accounting to him who stands ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was proclaimed even to the dead, so that, though they have been judged in the flesh as everyone is judged, they might live in the spirit as God does. All right, it's a long, long passage, pretty complicated, a lot to discuss. So let's jump into it. First, I'm going to offer you guys a question. What is the most difficult commandment in all of Scripture? It isn't that we shouldn't steal, and it isn't that we shouldn't commit murder. It isn't that we shouldn't lust. It's not that we shouldn't be grumpy, even first thing in the morning. Or that we shouldn't gossip, even when that gossip is both hot and juicy. It's not even that we should love our neighbors, which of course encompasses all the above. No, the most difficult commandment in all of Scripture is that we should love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Of course it's the most difficult, and why shouldn't it be? Suffering is bad enough, but it is far worse to suffer because we were wronged. It is awful to experience a life-changing setback, but when that suffering comes at the hands of another person, the outrage, resentment, and anger we feel can multiply that suffering. In such instances, it can be almost impossible to let go of anger. Yet it is harder still to forgive, and hardest of all to love those who have done evil to us. As fallen humans, all of these things are beyond our grasp naturally. But even with the help of Jesus, it often takes years of prayer just to let go of resentment and anger, to say nothing of forgiveness and love for our oppressors. All of this is only made more difficult by the state of the world we live in. We live in an age full of suffering and division. And as a consequence of this, the venting of outrage and anger and hatred is often applauded as a virtue and a force for positive social change. And where the act and we live in an age where the act of forgiveness is often hated and wrongly seen as excusing or justifying unacceptable behavior. Don't believe me? Just hop on the internet for 15 minutes, that'll sort it out for you. So if it's almost impossible to do and incredibly unpopular, why should we try and love our enemies? The Apostle Peter gives us the answer. We should forgive, love, and pray for our enemies, or at least try, because in Jesus, such love has incredible transformative power. Peter's first bit of evidence for this is the very fact that we have become followers of Christ. As Peter says, Jesus suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring us to God. We were not righteous when Jesus came to save us. We were not right with God. We were not God's friends. Rather, we who now believe in Christ were once enemies of God. And how did that change? It changed because Jesus chose to die for us anyway. And by that death, a death we are all spiritually responsible for, we have been transformed from enemies into brothers and sisters of Christ. Thus, when Jesus says that we must love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us so that we might be the children of our Father in heaven, he's drawing a very literal comparison. Our Father in heaven loves his enemies. We were his enemies, but he has loved us, and that love has transformed us. Now, that doesn't mean that God's love is permissive. It doesn't mean that we are fine as we are or that the evil we or other people do doesn't matter. But it does mean that God loves us and in fact loves everyone with a love that will stop at nothing to see us freed of our evil. God loves everyone with a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. God loves everyone with a love that never ends, and that love has saved us. And when we participate in that love, we can share in its transformative power. Now, Peter has demonstrated for us how our salvation serves as an incredible example of the power of Christ's love for his enemies. However, Peter, like every wise Christian teacher, However, Peter is not done boasting about the transformative power of Christ's love. Like every good Christian teacher, Peter recognizes that most people, most of the time, do not really believe in their own sinfulness. Of course, we recognize the odd sin here and there, but none of us really believes that we are just as sinful as the people we hate and resent. To get ahead of this little loophole we make for ourselves, Peter turns the dial up to 11 and preempts our objections by telling us about how the love of Jesus affected the salvation of the evilest people who ever lived in the entire history of the whole world. You see, there was a widespread belief in Peter's day that the generation of people who died in Noah's flood were the worst people in the history of the world, a generation which interbred with demons and filled the earth with evil. Indeed, Genesis says of that generation that their every thought, every inclination, and every desire was only for evil all the time. Does not leave a lot of room for wiggle there. If ever there were enemies of God beyond redemption and undeserving of forgiveness, it would have been that lot. Not only were they evil, to compound the problem, they were also dead. And according to a lot of Christians, beyond the reach of God's help. Worse still, they died in ancient times, long before the coming of Jesus, without any hope of hearing or accepting him. If any group of people in history, therefore, were utterly doomed, utterly without hope, utterly undeserving of love and compassion, it would have been that generation. And yet, the power of Jesus' death was so great that when he suffered and died, the path of salvation was open even for them. Thus, Peter declares that that Jesus, when he was put to death in the flesh, preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed in the days of Noah. In this way, Peter says, the gospel was proclaimed even to the dead, so that though they had been judged in the flesh as everyone is judged, they might yet live in the spirit as God does. That's right. When Jesus died, he entered into Hades and preached the gospel to the evilest, most rebellious, most enemy of God generation in the history of the entire world, in order that they who had been judged in the flesh might yet live in the spirit just as God does. Now, this is pretty wild, and it's important to say that Peter is not saying that there are no consequences for sin or for rejecting Christ. Indeed, Peter, along with all of Scripture, preaches that there are consequences for sin, and that it is important to draw close to Christ while he is near. Nevertheless, Peter is making a powerful claim about God's love for his enemies. Peter is saying that God loves even the foulest of souls, and his love has an incredible saving power even for those who, by all rights, ought to be beyond redemption. Peter is saying that we can share in Christ's redemptive work by imitating Christ and trying, with his help, to forgive, pray for, and even love our enemies. Peter is saying that if we become vectors of Christ's love, he might just free our enemies from their bondage to the devil, just as he has freed those who rebelled in the days of Noah. It is hard to believe, but when we repay evil with blessing, we are helping Christ to wind back the clock and undo the devil's work. Who knows how many families have been restored, relationships repaired, and even persecutors of the church saved by the love of Christ as expressed through Christians as they struggled to let go of their resentment and to forgive, yes, even to love the least deserving of their enemies. Of course, this seems like an impossible task, and Lord knows that we rarely get to be there when our efforts of this kind bear fruit. Nevertheless, we can work in confidence because we do so with the help of one who has already achieved the victory. At this very moment, Jesus reigns at the right hand of God in heaven with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him, not because he hated and killed his enemies, but because he loved and saved them. Therefore, we can struggle with confidence, knowing that when we work for Christ, it is not we who work, but Christ who works in and through us, and his labors are never in vain. So, what are we going to do when we are insulted and mistreated by people we regard as our enemies? Are we going to nurse our resentment and fantasize about revenge? Or are we going to leave the punishment to God and follow the example of Christ by praying for the repentance and salvation of those who persecute us? Now, if you're like me, and you've left your plans for finding a devotional practice for Lent a little late, here's an idea. Why don't you try spending some time this season searching your heart? Who do you hate? Who are you harboring resentment against? Who do you need help forgiving? Who is God calling you to pray for? I'll admit, it's a lot harder than giving up chocolate or coffee. Not that there's anything wrong with doing that. But if you open up your love to Christ and allow him to make you a channel of his love for the undeserving, who knows what might happen? And after all, it's not really an option. As God, speaking through the Apostle Peter, says, do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay evil with a blessing, for it is for this that you were called. It is for this that we have all been called. Amen.
Rising now in body or spirit, let us confess our faith as we say, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God,
begotten, not made,
of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, and has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Hear God's word to all who turn to Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God has promised forgiveness to all who truly repent, turn to Christ in faith, and are themselves forgiving. In silence, we call to mind our sin. Let us confess our sins. Merciful God, we have sinned in what we have thought and said, in the wrong we have done, and in the good we have not done. We have sinned in ignorance. We have sinned in weakness. We have sinned through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry. We repent and turn to you. Forgive us for our Savior Christ's sake, and renew our lives to the glory of your name. Amen. Through the cross of Christ, God have mercy on you, pardon you, and set you free. Know that you are forgiven, and be at peace. God strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in life eternal.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
We are the body of Christ, brothers and sisters. Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Amen. We are bound by the love of Christ.
Please offer to one another a sign of peace. Good morning, everybody. Have a seat if you're not seated already. Welcome again to Good Shepherd. If you're visiting today, we're very happy that you're here. If you're visiting online, please introduce yourself in the chat to your fellow worshipers online. If you're here in person, please do join us after church for coffee hour. Thank you, Stefan, so much for your profound word today about loving our enemies. Are there any birthdays or anniversaries to be blessed today? Clarence? Okay, your wife's birthday's on Tuesday. Other birthdays or anniversaries to be blessed today? Yes, ma'am. Enid's birthday? Oh, it was last week. Wonderful. Happy belated. Yes? Oh, Cedric? It's Danielle's birthday. Excellent. Good job, buddy. Anybody else? We will say, yes? Oh, and it's also your papa's birthday. Excellent.
Great. We will say a blessing and a prayer for those birthdays after the announcements. Lent has begun. I invite you to the observance of a holy Lent. If you are new to this tradition, come and ask me or Reverend Joanne for ways to make this Lent meaningful as we prepare for Jesus' journey to the cross, or just take Stefan's advice and, you know, tackle the hardest stuff first. Maybe this year you give something up for Lent for the first time in a long time, or maybe the first time ever. Maybe you take on a practice like saying morning prayer every day, or donating the money you save by giving up coffee to the pantry or the food bank. Maybe you make your individual confession of sins this year. In the Anglican tradition, confession is not mandatory. Nobody has to do it. But you are invited, under the sacred, unbreakably secret seal of the confessional, to confess your sins to a priest and receive assurance of God's forgiveness. This is a practice that I do myself as a penitent as well as a confessor, someone who hears confessions, and I find it really, really meaningful. So I encourage you, if this would give you peace, to find time for this rite this Lent. In Lent this year, we will also be exploring what it means to live a holy life that prepares us for death and life beyond death. This course will help us learn more about things that happen at the end of our lives and how to care for ourselves and other people through them. Our first session will be this Saturday, the 24th, at 9:30 a.m. We will welcome a speaker from the Alzheimer's Society to talk to us about dementia and how to take care of parents, partners, and neighbors who live with this disease. Future sessions will cover funeral planning, wills, medically assisted dying, and more. All are welcome Saturday mornings at 9:30. Ask Reverend Joanne if you have more questions. Next Sunday is a green growing Sunday. Yes, I know we're off schedule, but I didn't want to do a kids Sunday on Family Day weekend. So next Sunday is a green growing Sunday, luncheon Sunday. Lots of y'all already brought your food bank donations. Thank you so much. If you didn't, you got another week. And we would love to celebrate with you. Also, we will be commissioning our new vestry, elected at the AGM 2 weeks ago. We'll pray for their work for the years to come, and so I hope you will join us next Sunday for worship. The ACW World Day of Prayer is coming up on March 5th. This year, our prayer materials were written by the women of Palestine. You are warmly invited to join us March 5th for World Day of Prayer. For more information, please see an ACW member. Raise your hand, ACW members. Raise them high so people can see you. Excellent. Great. You can talk to any of them about the World Day of Prayer. I understand that there's an event at the Carnarvon Community League next weekend as well. Talk to our friend Preet if you have any questions about that. There will be a poster in the narthex. For all other announcements, I do commend them to your attention. Please keep an eye on the weekly roundup. Let's say a blessing for all the anniversaries in our midst. Oh God, our times are in your hands. Look with favor, we pray, on your servants as they begin another year. Grant that they may grow in wisdom and grace, and teach them to trust in your goodness all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Please join in singing our offertory hymn, Lead Us, Heavenly Father, Lead Us.
Lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us.
To you, Lord, belongs the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty.
All that is in the heavens and the earth is yours, and now your own we give you.
The Lord is here.
God's Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to offer thanks and praise.
It is right indeed. It is our joy and our salvation, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, at all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise through Christ, your only Son. You are the source of all life and goodness. Through your eternal word, you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. When we sinned and turned away, you called us back to yourself and gave your Son to share our human nature, who, though tempted in every way as we are, yet did not sin. Through him, therefore, we may triumph over sin and grow in grace. Therefore, with the faithful who rest in him, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Thanksgiving to you, Holy Father. On the night before he died, your Son, Jesus Christ, took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." After supper, he took the cup. When he had given you thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, to remember me." Glory to you, Lord Christ. Your death we show forth. Your resurrection we proclaim, your coming we await. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Therefore, loving God, recalling your great goodness to us in Christ, his suffering and death, his resurrection and ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate our redemption with this bread of life and this cup of salvation. Accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, which we offer through Christ, our great high priest. Send your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may become for us the body and blood of Christ, that we, filled with the Spirit's grace and power, may be renewed for the service of your kingdom. United in Christ with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, O God, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing, honor, and glory be yours, here and everywhere. Now and forever. Amen. As our Savior Christ has taught us, let us sing.
Amen.
We break this bread to share in the body of Christ.
We who are many are one body, for we all share one bread.
Most merciful Lord, your love compels us to come in. Our hands were unclean, our hearts were unprepared. We were not fit even to eat the crumbs from under your table. But you, Lord, are the God of our salvation, and share your bread with sinners. So cleanse and feed us with the precious body and blood of your Son, that he may live in us, and we in him, and that we, with the whole company of Christ, may sit and eat in your kingdom. Amen.
Draw near with faith and receive the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. In remembrance that he died for us, let us feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we pray our prayer after communion. Faithful God, in this communion you increase our faith and hope and love. Lead us in the path of Christ, who is your word of life. Amen. In your heart or with your body, I invite you to bow down before the Lord. Grant, Almighty God, that your people may recognize their weakness and put their whole trust in your strength, so that they may rejoice forever in the protection of your loving providence. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please join in singing our closing hymn, The Glory of These 40 Days.
Thank you. Good.